Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel. 10 days after the Feast of Trumpets comes the great Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. God Himself ordained this fast through Moses in order to instruct His people Israel about His gracious provision for their sins and in order to bring out in picture form His great truth of salvation. The Day of Atonement pointed also to God's way of redemption and blessing for the nations. As A.J. Overton, our Message to Israel voice at this time, indicates in today's broadcast, the Day of Atonement reveals how a holy God can fellowship with an imperfect people. Mr. Overton.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings, friends, in the name of the Lord Yeshua. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, has always been the most solemn of all Jewish holy seasons. Preparation for this day began with the memorial of blowing of trumpets, known today as Rosh Hashanah. The sounding of the shofar introduced the 10 days of penitence, climaxing on the Day of Atonement, the Sabbath of Sabbaths. Even today, on Rosh Hashanah, among Jewry who honor this tradition, groups in many lands gather together by river or ocean to perform the symbolic rite of Tashlich, or the casting away of sins. The prophet Micah is quoted, "Thou wilt cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." Every midnight thereafter, until Yom Kippur, special prayers ascend for forgiveness. On the final afternoon before the Day of Atonement, the Jewish family consumes a festive meal. For the complete fast on Yom Kippur excludes even the moistening of one's lips with water. Yom Kippur derives from a Hebrew word meaning to cover. All Israel's sins were covered over by the blood of the sacrificed substitute. Jehovah declared, "The life of flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls." The high priest moved as a glowing spectacle through the temple ritual on this day. His sparkling golden diadem, the brilliance of precious gems on his breastplate, the tinkling golden bells hanging from the hem of his deep purple robe enhanced every motion. He must offer the regular daily sacrifices and the special festive sacrifices as well as normal Sabbath offerings should Yom Kippur come on a Sabbath. Most distinct, however, from these offerings were the singular sin offerings offered on this unique day. They consisted first of a young bullock for the high priest and the priesthood, then they included 2 goats for the people of Israel. Both goats were of equal size, like value, and the same appearance, for they formed 1 sacrifice. By lots, 1 was selected to be slain, and the other to be sent out alive into the wilderness, bearing away symbolically the sins of the people. The high priest alone, and only on this day in every year, entered into the most holy place, God's very presence, to sprinkle the blood of these sin offerings. To offer these peculiar sin offerings on Yom Kippur, the high priest laid aside his golden garments and clothed himself in a white linen robe. In his official capacity, he wore white linen as the emblem of that purity sought on this day. During this day, the high priest changed his garments 5 times, bathing his entire body in every instance. 10 times he washed his hands and feet. Only by the high priest, and on this day alone, was the covenant name of God distinctly pronounced, a pronunciation now long lost. At these 10 utterances, all present prostrated themselves. The Jews always substituted another name of God, Adonai. The name Jehovah, used today for convenience to indicate this covenant name, is only a fusion of four original consonants of this covenant name, interspersed with vowels of Adonai. With anxious prayers, the congregation now strained every eye toward the sanctuary. The high priest, robed in white, bore the blood and the incense, disappearing slowly within the holy place. His movements were no longer in view as alone he approached into the most holy place. Every time their high priest reappeared, great relief and joy swept through the people. It was most solemn to enter into the immediate presence of God. By the sprinkling of the blood of the sin offerings, atonement was secured for the high priest, the priesthood, the people, and the sanctuary with its furniture. The ceremonies, sacrifices, and worship could now continue for another year. Great rejoicing resulted from this obtained forgiveness and assured cleansing. The second goat was held facing the assembled people during all these awesome ceremonies. An undercurrent of expectation dominated the congregation as the high priest emerged, approached the live goat, laid his hands on him, and as their representative confessed and placed the sins of the people upon the animal. The assembly was alive with interest as the now sin-laden substitute was led amid shouts from the people into the wilderness. The carcasses of the bullock and the goat, whose blood had been sprinkled in the sanctuary for atonement, were burned outside the city where the temple ashes were usually deposited. The need of this special day of atonement, after the multitudes of various sacrifices throughout the year, demonstrated graphically their insufficiency. The required yearly repetition of this eventful day proclaimed the entire ceremonial system as temporary and provisional. They were simply the shadows. Only the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world, the true substance of these shadows, could open the way to God. Man's sinfulness, God's holiness, and God's love were all clearly taught on this day. The ceremonies concerning the sin offerings impressed upon the people that their sins and the sins of their priesthood had brought pollution upon the sanctuary. Their guilt had separated them from the holy God. Their worship and his presence would be forfeited unless cleansing was made and forgiveness obtained. The blood temporarily covered. The live goat symbolically bore their sins and the burden of their guilty consciences away. God forgave, removed, and forgot their sins. All pointed to one yet to come. He alone would fully and finally atone for, blot out, and take away their sins. The solemnities of Yom Kippur were completed by the blowing of the shofar, the ram's horn, which heralded the coming of the promised Messiah. Messiah, the Lord Yeshua, has come the first time to bear the sins of many. The veil of the most holy place was rent asunder by invisible hands when Yeshua, Jesus Christ, gave his life as the substitutionary sacrifice on the cross. He is the way to the Father. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Yom Kippur gives no real assurance of sins forgiven. It is desired and sought, but there is no assurance for mere self-effort. Substituting forms of penitence and good works are not sufficient. The prophet Isaiah declared, "All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." We must be aware not only of sins, but of sin, that essential bias of man toward evil. Messiah will come the second time, as predicted by the prophets of Israel and the holy apostles. deep in her heart, Israel knows her atonement is of the Messiah. As the memorial of blowing of trumpets speaks of the coming resurrection and the regathering of Israel, so this solemn day of atonement points to Israel's repentance and apprehension of the work of Messiah. The prophet Zechariah stated, "And I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, so that they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him, as one mourns for an only son, and they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn. In that day there will be great mourning in Jerusalem. In that day a fountain will be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for impurity." Jews and Gentiles may come today by faith to him and know forgiveness. Yeshua, Jesus Christ, is the true atonement. Will you trust him? Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool.